شاء الله. بسم الله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على النبي محمد وعلى آله وسلم. أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يرزقنا حسن النية جميعا. كنا في الحصة In the past session, we were talking about the sins of the tongue. Let us continue talking about this matter. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وشهادة الزور. The author said to give false testimony. الزور معناه الكذب. شهادة الزور معناه أن يشهد الشخص كاذبا. وهي من معاصي اللسان الكبيرة. حتى شبهها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالشرك، فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: عدلت شهادة الزور الإشراك بالله. معناه شابهت، معناه ذنب عظيم، ذنب كبير. Among the sins of the tongue is to give a false testimony. Doing that is an enormous sin, to the point that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام drew similarity between this sin and taking partners with Allah. So he said in the hadith, عدلت شهادة الزور الإشراك بالله, which means the false testimony is an enormous sin, of taking partners of Allah. It is similar to associating partners with Allah. ولم يرد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام بما قال أن شهادة الزور تخرج من الإسلام, لا, لكن أراد بيان عظم هذا الذنب. The Prophet did not mean by what he said that giving a false testimony takes one out of Islam. No. He meant that this is an enormous sin, to emphasize the enormity of this sin. والحديث رواه البيهقي. This hadith is narrated by Al-Bayhaqi. لذلك قال رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام: إذا رأيت مثل الشمس فاشهد وإلا فدع. إذا رأيت مثل الشمس فاشهد, إذا كنت متيقنا مما حصل فاشهد وإلا فدع, لا تفعل. This is why the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, إذا رأيت مثل الشمس فاشهد وإلا فدع, which means If you see the matter very clearly, just like you see the sun, then give your testimony. Otherwise, do not do it. قال المؤلف ومطل الغني أي تأخير دفع الدين مع غناه أي مقدرته. The author said, to procrastinate paying one's debt when it is due and one is able. شرح ذلك أن هذه المعصية معصية من الكبائر أيضا. This sin is also among the enormous sins. It is an enormous, a great, a big sin. وهي معدودة من معاصي اللسان لأن فاعلها يعد بالوفاء ثم يخلف. يعد ثم يخلف. It is mentioned among the sins of the tongue because the one who does it promises to pay the debt and then he does not. Then he promises to pay it, then he does not. This is why it is counted among the sins of the tongue. فإذا كان الشخص قادرا على الوفاء بالدين وقد حل الدين حل وقته ولم يفي صاحب الدين يريد الدين وهو يماطل مطله ذنب من الكبائر. So if the time of paying the debt is due and the person who has to pay it has enough money to pay it, he is able to pay it, and the one who deserves it wants it. So he's not telling him, I don't want it now, I will take it later from you, you'll pay me later. No, it is due, he is able to pay it back. The one, the lender wants it, and despite that, he does not pay the debt, rather he delays doing that, or he abstains from doing it. This is an enormous sin. جاء في الحديث لي الواجد ظلم لي الواجد ظلم يحل عرضه وعقوبته. لي الواجد معناه مماطلة القادر على دفع الدين. مماطلة القادر على دفع الدين ظلم معصية. يحل عرضه معناه بسبب ذلك يجوز التحذير منه. وعقوبته أي أن الحاكم يعاقبه بما يرى بما هو مناسب على وفق الشريعة حتى يدفع دينه من حبس أو غير ذلك. As the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لي الواجد ظلم يحل عرضه وعقوبته, which means the one who is able to pay back his debt after it is due and he does not do it, he delays doing it. While the lender wants it, commits a sin by that, and as a consequence, it is permissible to warn against him. It is permissible to talk, to tell the people, do not deal with this person. He does not pay back his debts. And it is permissible for the ruler to punish him in this case. The proper punishment. He might in jail him until he pays, or use another punishment for that. وهنا لابد من إيضاح شيء. بعض الناس لا يفهمون تماما معنى الواجد، معنى القادر على وفاء الدين. يعني يكون الشخص يملك قطعة أرض لا يحتاجها، ليست من الضروريات، وبيتا غير البيت الذي هو يسكن فيه، وسيارة يمكن، وأمورا أخرى ليست من الضروريات، ويأتي وقت يحل الدين وليس معه عملة كافية لدفع الدين فلا يدفع. مثل هذا قادر، كيف قادر؟ يبيع السيارة ويدفع، يبيع البيت أو حصة من البيت ويدفع، يبيع الأرض أو حصة من الأرض ويدفع. هذا ليس على حسب قدر الدين. يبيع الغسالة والبراد وغير ذلك من الأمور التي هي ليست من الضروريات ويدفع الدين، هذا ليس عاجزا عن دفع الدين. يبيع بسعر المثل ويدفع الدين. Here there is a point that I want to make it more clear. Sometimes the debt is due and the person owns, let's say, a house. He inhabits, he lives in an apartment, let's say, and he owns another apartment. He owns maybe a piece of land. He has a car, a refrigerator, a TV, a radio, some furniture that are not necessary ones. But he doesn't have cash to pay back the debt, and the debt is due. The person who gave him the debt, the lender wants his debt back. And despite his situation, he does not pay the debt back. Why? Because he says, I do not have money. I do not have cash. Or even if he does not have cash, he sells the car, he sells the house, he sells a share of his house, he sells the land, he sells a share of the land, he sells the fridge, he sells the TV, he sells things at the market price. Usually, what's the value of those things? He sells them for their values, actual values, but he sells them to pay back. He cannot say, I will wait until I have enough cash without selling, without anything. I will wait every month I will save a little amount aside, and maybe in 10 years I will have enough money to pay the debt back, for example. He cannot say that. Such person is able to pay back, he needs to do it. لا إله إلا الله. Like 40 more, 50 years ago, someone in Damascus gave Sheikh Abdullah to a loan, so he could pay for transportation, for the bus. It's at that time, it was equivalent maybe to a quarter or something like that at that time. Now it's not equivalent even to not a penny. Now it's not equivalent even not to a penny. Not for one out of 100, should be 1% of a penny. Maybe. Now, he came back to that man to pay him the debt. He could not find him. That man changed his address. He moved. Since that time, up till now, Sheikh Abdullah is still searching for him. Every while, he hires someone or he asks someone to search for him. And maybe he died. Maybe the man died and he is still searching for him. Yani at least I know for the past year it happened before me. He asked someone to go and search for this man. Some people, for a much bigger amount of money, they ignore it as if they do not have to pay anything to others. قال المؤلف والشتم واللعن. The author said to cuss and curse. من معاصي اللسان سب المسلم, شتم المسلم. To curse a Muslim is a sin. وسباب المسلم من الكبائر إذ قد جاء في الحديث سباب المسلم فسوق. Cursing a Muslim is an enormous sin. It is narrated in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام سباب المسلم فسوق, which means to curse a Muslim is committing an enormous sin. وكذلك لعن المسلم من الكبائر. Likewise, to damn a Muslim is an enormous sin. إلا في الحال التي جوز الشرع سب المسلم فيها أو لعنه. Except, of course, in the case when it is permissible religiously to curse the Muslim or damn him. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال لعن المسلم كقتله. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said لعن المسلم كقتله, which means to damn a Muslim is similar to kill him. That is, as killing him is an enormous sin, also to damn him is an enormous sin. الحديث رواه مسلم. This hadith is narrated by Muslim. لكن مع ذلك الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قال اللهم أيما مسلم لعنته أو سببته فاجعل ذلك كفارة له. معناه يا ربي أي مسلم بحسب الظاهر يستحق اللعن أو يستحق السب بحسب الظاهر فأنا فعلت ذلك معه, أهنته أو لعنته لأنه بحسب الظاهر يستحق ذلك, يا ربي اجعل ذلك كفارة لهذا المسلم. وهو في الحقيقة ليس كذلك, يا ربي اجعل ذلك كفارة له. So despite what we said, the Prophet said, اللهم أيما مسلم سببته أو لعنته فاجعل ذلك كفارة له. Which means, O Allah, if I curse, if I insult any Muslim or damn him, that is because apparently he deserves that. Which means, oh Allah, I do not know the unforeseen. I do not know al-ghayb. If apparently he deserves that and I do it with him, while truly he does not, then oh Allah, forgive him, benefit him with forgiveness. فيفهم من ذلك أن إهانة المسلم ولعنه في بعض الأحوال جائزة. From this hadith, it is understood that insulting the Muslim or damning him, sometimes it is permissible. In some cases, it is permissible. إنسان واحد مسلم يعمل ذنبا من الكبائر أمام الناس مجاهرا بهذا الذنب, وأنت تظن أنك إذا لعنته يرتدع عن هذا الفعل الذي هو من الكبائر, قالوا في هذه الحال يجوز. The scholars mentioned few examples for that. One example is if a Muslim is committing an enormous sin in front of the people openly, and you think that if you damn him, you believe that if you damn him, then he will stop doing that. This will stop him from doing that enormous sin. The scholars said, in this case, it is permissible. the hadith. The hadith means the Prophet meant by it, I do not know the unforeseen. I do not know al-ghayb. So, O Allah, if I insult a Muslim or damn him, because apparently for me, this Muslim deserved that. So, O Allah, forgive him. Yani, benefit him with forgiveness. Because if I do this with him. بعض العلماء قال لعن المسلم لا يجوز لعن أي شخص لا يجوز إلا أن يعلم أنه يموت على الكفر. And some scholars said it is not permissible to damn anyone except if it is known that this damned one will die as a blasphemer. قالوا مثل الشيطان. They said like Iblis. It is known that he is going to die as a blasphemer. So they said, then it is permissible to damn Iblis. But to damn someone whom we do not know that he is going to die as a blasphemer is not permissible. This is what they said. لكن هذا القول ضعيف. But this saying is a weak saying. القول المنصور هو القول الذي ذكرناه أولا لأنه يؤيده حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المذكور وغيره من الأحاديث. The reliable saying is the saying that was mentioned first, that in some cases it is permissible to damn the Muslim, even a Muslim, even if you do not know how his ending will be. Because the hadith that we mentioned and other hadiths also, أليس جاء في الحديث أن المرأة إذا دعاها زوجها للجماع فأبت من غير عذر تلعنها الملائكة حتى تصبح لو كان حراما ما لعنتها الملائكة. Isn't it narrated in the hadith that if the husband wants to have sexual intercourse with his wife and she abstains without an excuse, then the angels damn her until the morning? This is a sahih hadith. If it was prohibited to damn the person whom we don't know that his ending will, he will die, he or she will die as a blasphemer, then the angels wouldn't do that. أولئك العلماء الذين قالوا لا يجوز إلا أن نعرف أنه يموت على الكفر ظنوا أن معنى اللعن الحرمان من الرحمة. Those scholars who said it is not permissible to damn someone except if we know that he is going to die as a blasphemer, they thought that the meaning of damning is for one to be deprived from the mercy of Allah. This is why they said that. حقيقة معنى اللعن البعد من الخير. Truly, in the language, in the Arabic language, the meaning of اللعن, which is translated to English as damning, means to be away from goodness. So it does not mean to be deprived from the mercy. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: والاستهزاء بالمسلم وكل كلام مؤذي له. The author said, to mock or utter what harms a Muslim. من معاصي اللسان تحقير المسلم والاستهزاء به. وهذا معلوم. It is known that among the sins of the tongue to belittle a Muslim. وكذلك كل كلام يؤذيه مواجهته بكل ما يؤذيه بلا حق. Likewise, to address a Muslim with any word that harms this Muslim unrightfully, it is prohibited. ومثل الكلام الفعل والإشارة. Likewise, if someone harms a Muslim by making a sign, it is prohibited. Or by an act, it is prohibited. All of that is prohibited. قال المؤلف: والكذب على الله وعلى رسوله. The author said, to lie about Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا من جملة معاصي اللسان، وكنا تكلمنا عنه عند الكلام عن الكذب عموما. This is among the sins of the tongue, and if you remember the past session, we talked about this when we talked about lying in general. ولا خلاف بين المسلمين أن الكذب على الله أو على الرسول من الكبائر. There is no difference in opinions among the Muslim scholars that lying about Allah or the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is an enormous sin. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال: إن كذبا علي ليس ككذب على أحد. فمن كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن كذبا علي ليس ككذب على أحد. فمن كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Which means, lying about me is not like lying about anyone else. The one who lies about me, let him prepare himself for a seat in hellfire. That is, he is going to be tortured in hellfire. Ya Latif. For a place in hellfire. هذا الحديث متواتر رواه مسلم وغيره بلغ درجة التواتر. This hadith narrated by Muslim and others reached the level of التواتر. قال المؤلف: والدعوة الباطلة. The author said, to make a false claim. يعني أنه من جملة معاصي اللسان أن يدعي الشخص باطلا على أنه يستحق شيئا وهو لا يستحقه، كأن يدعي على شخص آخر أن له عليه كذا من المال وهو في الحقيقة ليس له عليه ذلك. Among the sins of the tongue is for one to make a false claim, like to claim that he lended so and so such amount of money while he did not. So he claims that he asks the person to pay him back while he does not deserve that. وَقَدْ مَرَّ مَعَنَا عُظْمُ ذَنْبِ شَهَادَةِ الزُّورِ وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ شَهَادَةَ الزُّورِ وَسِيلَةٌ إِلَى إِبْطَالِ حَقٍّ أَوْ إِحْقَاقِ بَاطِلٍ وهذا الدعوة الباطلة من ذلك. We just mentioned before short time how severe is to make a false testimony. Why? Because making a false testimony is a way, is a mean to to reach, for one to get, to reach, to acquire what one does not deserve, or to deprive one from what he deserves. And the same thing applies to the false claim. So it is an enormous sin. والطلاق البدعي قال المؤلف والطلاق البدعي وهو ما كان في حال الحائض أو في طهر جامع فيه. The author said to divorce one's wife while she is menstruating or during a period of purity, طهر, in which one has had sexual intercourse with her. This type of divorce is called bid'i. In Arabic, it is called bid'i. كنا ذكرنا أنه من المهم أن يتعلم الشخص أحكام الشيء قبل أن يدخل فيه, أحكام الفعل قبل أن يدخل فيه. We mentioned previously that it is important for one to learn the judgments related to any deed that he wants to do. ومن ذلك الطلاق. One of those deeds is divorcing. ليس كل طلاق جائزا. Not every divorce is permissible. الطلاق أحيانا يكون محرما. Sometimes it is prohibited to divorce one's wife. إذا كانت الزوجة في الحيض لا يجوز للزوج أن يطلقها وهي في الحيض. If the wife is menstruating, it is not permissible for her husband to divorce her while she is in her menses. وإن لم تكن في الحيض كانت في حال الطهر, انتهى حيضها وهي في حال الطهر, لكن جمعها في هذا الطهر, ليس له أن يطلقها فيه. Now, if she is not in her menses, rather she is now in her period of cleanliness, still, if he has sexual intercourse with her, it is prohibited for him to divorce her during this tuhur, this period of cleanliness. فإذا أراد أن يطلقها ينتظر حتى تحيض ثم تطهر ثم من غير أن يجامعها قبل أن يجامعها يطلقها. So if he wants to divorce her, he waits until she menstruates, then her menses stops, then during the period of cleanliness he divorces her before having sexual intercourse with her, without having sexual intercourse with her during that period of cleanliness. وهذا الطلاق المحرم الذي ذكرناه مع كونه محرما يقع. But pay attention, although the aforementioned divorce is a prohibited divorce, it takes place. So if the husband divorces his wife during her menses, the divorce takes place. He is sinful for that, but the divorce takes place. ليس الأمر كما زعم ابن تيمية. من جملة ضلال ابن تيمية شذوذ ابن تيمية أنه قال الطلاق في الحيض لا يقع. Among the deviances, of Ibn Taymiyyah is that he said divorcing one's wife during the menses does not take place. And he said it's not valid. The divorce is not valid. If one divorces his wife during her menses, Ibn Taymiyyah claimed this is not a valid divorce. خالف شرع الله وصحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وخرج عن الإجماع وما اهتم. He went against the rules of the religion. He deviated from what the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said. He breached the consensus of the scholars and he did not care. In this case and in other cases. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والظهار وهو أن يقول لزوجته أنت علي كظهر أمي معناه لا أجامعك. The author said to utter the ظهار, like to say to one's wife, you are for me like my mother, meaning I now do not copulate with you, just as I do not copulate with my mother. هذا من معاصي اللسان. This is one of the sins of the tongue. هذا في الجاهلية كان معدودا من الطلاق, من جملة طلاق الجاهلية. In the era of ignorance before the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام received the revelation, such statement was considered a divorce. ثم أوحى الله إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذا مجرد هذا اللفظ ليس طلاقا وأنه يحرم على الشخص على الزوج أن يقوله. Then Allah revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that just saying that is not considered a divorce and it is not permissible for the husband to say that to his wife. إذا قال الرجل لزوجته ولو كانت مطلقة لكن طلقة رجعية وما زالت في العدة, إذا قال لها أنت علي كظهر أمي فقد وقع في الإثم, في إثم الظهار. If someone says to his wife, even after divorcing her one or two divorces, that is a divorce after which he can bring her back during her idda, and the idda is not done yet, if one says to his wife, you are for me like my mother, meaning I do not have sexual intercourse like I do not do that with my mother, then one commits the sin of al-dhihar. نفس الشيء لو قال لها أنت علي كظهر أختي أو كيد أمي أو كبطن أختي نفس الحكم. The same rule applies if one says to his wife, you are for me like my sister, meaning the same meaning, or you are for me like the hand of my sister, the chest of my sister, the back of my sister, the back of my mother. The same rule applies in all these cases. قال المؤلف وفيه كفارة إن لم يطلق بعده فورا وهي عتق رقبة مؤمنة سليمة فإن عجز صام شهرين متتابعين فإن عجز أطعم 60 مسكينا 60 مدة. The author said, if one does not divorce immediately after uttering this, one is obligated to fulfill an expiation, a kafara, which is to free a Muslim slave who has no defects, if unable to fast 2 consecutive lunar months, and if unable to feed 60 poor Muslims 60 mud. إذا ظاهر الرجل من زوجته فهنا حالان، إما أن يطلق فورا بعد الظهار أو لا يطلق. If one says the aforementioned statement to his wife, here there are 2 possibilities. Either the husband divorces her immediately after uttering this statement, or he does not do that. يعني إما أن يقول لها أنت علي كظهر أمي طلقتك مثلا، أو يقول أنت علي كظهر أمي ويسكت لا يطلقها بعد ذلك. So either he says you are for me like my mother in the meaning that we mentioned previously, I now divorce you immediately after that. I now divorce you. Or he does not do that. He says the previous statement and then he does not divorce her. إن لم يطلق إن طلقها فورا خلاص وقع الطلاق وعليه أن يتوب من الذنب الذي فعله. If he divorces her immediately after al-dhihar, he has to repent from the sin that he did, and she is divorced. That's it. إن لم يطلقها على ثبت في ذمته ثبت عليه كفارة. If he does not divorce her immediately after uttering that statement, then he has to pay an expiation. Even if he divorces her after 1 hour, after 2 hours, after 3 hours, after 15 minutes, if he does not divorce her immediately after uttering that statement, an expiation is due on him. هذه الكفارة هي عتق رقبة، عتق عبد ذكر أو أمة أنثى. عتق رقبة مسلمة سليمة من العيوب المضرة بالعمل. عتق رقبة سليمة من العيوب التي تضر بالكسب، تؤثر على الكسب، على العمل. This expiation is to free a Muslim slave, a male or a female, an adult or not, which is who is free from the defects that affects the ability of working. مثلا إذا كان سقط شعره يجزئ أن يعتقه لأن سقوط الشعر لا يؤثر على شو على قدرته على الكسب. For example, if the slave lost his or her hair, it is valid to set him or her free because losing hair does not affect the ability of working. أما لو كان العبد مصابا بعلة في يده تمنعه من تحريك يده هذا يؤثر. On the other hand, if the slave is affected with a defect, with something that prevents him from moving his hand, then this affects his ability, his or her ability to work. إن لم يكن عند الشخص هذا العبد لكن عنده مال يشتريه به هذه الرقبة يشتريها ويعتقها. If one does not have a slave but he has enough money to buy one and set the slave free, he has to do that. In عجز ما استطاع يصوم شهرين قمريين هلاليين متتابعين ليس 60 يوما شهرين هلاليين متتابعين. If he cannot set a slave free, then one fasts 2 consecutive lunar months. Not 60 days, no. 2 consecutive lunar months. شهران قمريان قد يكونان أقل من 60 يوما. 2 consecutive lunar months might be less than 60 days. فلو أفطر قبل اليوم الأخير بيوم أو يومين أو 5 أيام لا بد أن يعيد من الأول. If he breaks fasting, his fast, the day before the last day, let's say, or 2 days before the 2 months end, then he has to repeat fasting the 2 months from the beginning. They have to be consecutive 2 months. إن عجز ما كان عنده قدرة لا يستطيع أن يصوم شهرين متتابعين جسده لا يتحمل. في هذه الحال يطعم 60 مسكينا كل مسكين مدا من غالب قوت البلد. If he cannot fast 2 consecutive months, he's sick, for example. He cannot bear it for 2 consecutive months. Then, in this case, he gives 60 mud of food, of the common staple food of the town, of the area, to 60 different poor people. He gives to each one mud. A mud is this amount. This amount of the common staple food, which means in Philadelphia, for example, wheat. In areas of India or China, in areas of in India or in China, means rice. In some other areas, corn. It depends. What is the most common staple food? He gives 60 mud to 60 poor Muslim people, one mud to each one. One mud to each one. فإن جمع الستين في مكان واحد وجاء بستين مدا وقال لهم ملكتكم هذه الستين مدا صح. So if he gathers those 60 people at one place and he brings 60 mud of wheat, let's say, in one container, and he tells them, I give you, that is all of you, this amount of wheat, this is enough. This is valid. وَلَا يُجْزِئُهُ أَنْ يُعْطِيَ فَقِيرًا وَاحِدًا أَسْتِتِّينَ مُدًّا وَلَوْ فِي سِتِّينَ يَوْمًا. It is not valid to give one poor person the 60 mud, even if he does that in 60 different days. Each day he gives him one mud. This is not valid. They need to be 60 different poor people. 60. إن عجز تثبت الكفارة في ذمته حتى يقدر على خصلة من هذه الخصال. If he cannot do this also, if he is unable to give food, he is very poor, he cannot fast, he cannot set a slave free, he cannot distribute food, then he waits until he can, he would be able to do one of those three matters. Any one of those three. Yeah, which means it is still due on him. Just he waits until he can do any of those three things. قال المؤلف ومنها اللحن في القرآن بما يخل بالمعنى أو بالإعراب وإن لم يخل بالمعنى. The author said to commit mistakes when reciting the Quran, whether or not those mistakes change the meaning. هناك شيء من القرآن يجب على كل مسلم مكلف أن يحسن تلاوته. أن يصحح تلاوته وهو الفاتحة. There is a part of Al-Quran that each and every accountable Muslim has to recite it properly. It is an obligation upon each and every accountable Muslim to know how to recite it properly. Which is الفاتحة. وأما غير الفاتحة فيجب وجوبا كفائيا فرض كفاية على المسلمين تصحيح قراءته. As for the rest of Al-Quran, it is a communal obligation, فرض كفاية, upon the Muslims to recite it properly. That is, if some of them learn that in the community, in the town, if some Muslim, does not mean in the whole world, in all the countries, for two people to learn that, no. In each town, in each city, etc. For if some of them learn that, then the others are not sinful. في كل حال حرام على الشخص أن يقرأ القرآن بحيث يخطئ فيه لأنه لم يتعلم القراءة. من تقصيره. In any case, if one does not learn how to recite Al-Quran properly and as a consequence he commits mistakes when he is reciting Al-Quran, he is sinful for that. سواء كان هذا اللحن هذه الأخطاء تغير المعنى أو لا تغير المعنى. Whether these mistakes change the meaning or do not change the meaning. قبل أن يقرأ القرآن لا بد أن يتعلم كيف يقرأ على الوجه الصحيح السالم من اللحن. Before reciting Al-Quran, one needs to learn how to recite it properly without committing mistakes. بعض الناس لأنهم لا يتعلمون في موضع المد لا يمدون وفي غير موضع المد يمدون. Some people, because they do not learn where it is an obligation to stretch a letter, they do not do it. When it is haram to stretch it, they do it. They are sinful by that. أما ما ورد في الحديث من أن الذي يقرأ القرآن وهو عليه شاق له أجران, هذا في الذي يقرأ قراءة صحيحة لكن يبذل جهدا أكبر من غيره لأنه أشق عليه من غيره أن يصحح القراءة, وهو يبذل هذا الجهد فيصححها فينال أجرا أكثر من الأجر الذي يناله من القراءة عليه أسهل ليست بتلك المشقة. هذا معنى الحديث, ليس معناه حرف كتاب الله ولك ثواب أكثر. As for the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and others that states that the one who faces difficulties, it is difficult for him to recite Al-Quran, gets more reward than the one whom reciting Al-Quran for him is easier. It does not mean, this hadith does not mean that this person recites while committing mistakes and despite that gets more reward. It means some people it is more difficult for them. They need to put more effort to recite properly. And they do it. They put this extra effort to recite properly. Those people, they get more reward for that than the ones whom it is easier for them to recite Al-Quran. And they do it properly. This is what it means. It does not mean pervert the book of Allah, recite with mistakes and you'll get more reward. This is not what it means. أحيانا تقول لإنسان صحح قراءتك قبل أن تقرأ. يورد هذا الحديث ولا يدري أن هذا الحديث ليس له علاقة بما يقوله. Sometimes you tell someone, do not recite Al-Quran before learning how to recite it properly. And they come up with this hadith. They might bring up this hadith because they misunderstood it. يحتاج الإنسان أن يخرج الحروف من مخارجها، أن يتعلم إخراج الحروف من مخارجها، وأن يعرف متى لا بد من المد ومتى لا يصح أن يمد بحيث يكون سالما من اللحن عند القراءة. One needs to know how to pronounce the letters properly, to pronounce them from their exits properly, and when to stretch and when not to stretch in a way that he would be safe from sinning while reciting Al-Quran. لذلك إذا كان تعلم سورة أو سورتين أو ثلاثة فليقتصر إذا أراد أن يقرأ القرآن على هذا الذي تعلمه. This is why if one learns one or two or three surahs only from Al-Quran, this is all what he learns. This is all what he can recite properly. Then let him recite those surahs only. That's it. Of course, he needs to learn Al-Fatiha to pray for his prayer, the validity of his prayer. Other than that, that's it. If he does not do that and he recites the whole Quran, in the rest of the surahs he does not have reward. So he is just putting effort without reward. So let him recite what he learned to get the reward. أما الفاتحة فإذا كان قادرا على التعلم ولم يتعلم فعليه أن يعيد كل تلك الصلوات التي صلاها قبل أن يتعلم الفاتحة. As for الفاتحة, if one is able to learn, he can learn. There is someone to teach him and he can pronounce the letter. He does not have a defect that prevents him from pronouncing the letters. So he can learn, and despite that he does not learn, then he needs to make up all the prayers that he missed because he did not learn how to recite Al-Fatiha properly. Whether, يعني, which means, if he recites Al-Fatiha with mistakes in a way that Al-Fatiha is not valid, his prayer is not valid. So if he prays for 10 years without learning how to recite Al-Fatiha properly, and Al-Fatiha, because of that, is not valid, then he needs to make up all these prayers. If he is in Philly, let's say, and there is someone in the Musalla who can teach him, but he does not put the effort to come to learn, and this is why he prays, let's say, at home without reciting Al-Fatiha. He makes dhikr instead. Maybe he recites other verses. Maybe he keeps silent. I don't know what he does. Also, all these prayers he needs to make them up, because he was able to learn and he fell short in that. Al-Fatiha is a requisite, is an integral for the validity of the prayer. So this is why he needs to make up all those prayers. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والسؤال للغني بمال أو حرفة. The author said, for the one who is solvent to beg. ليس شرطا يعني معنى هذا أن الشحاذة من المعاصي إلا أن الشحاذة من الغني معصية. وليس شرطا في الشحاذة أن يقف على جانب الطريق ويمد يده. لو جاء إلى مسلم آخر في بيته أو في دكانه أو وهما يمشيان في الطريق أو في الحقل فقال له أعطني كذا أعطني كذا أعطني كذا وهو غني عنده كفايته بمال، إما عنده مال يكفيه أو بحرفة قادر على العمل والعمل موجود بحيث يستطيع أن يكفي نفسه، حرام عليه أن يشحذ، أن يطلب من المسلم أعطني أعطني أعطني. So if one is solvent, it is a sin for him to beg. This does not mean يعني standing at the corner. It does not mean only to do that. No. If one is solvent, he has enough money, or he is able to work, he can find the job to support himself. To fulfill his basic needs. But he does not do it. And instead one begs. In this case one is sinful. So if one comes to his friend, his relative, to someone else's place, if he meets someone on the street and he tells him, give me this, give me that, give me $10, give me $100, give me whatever like that, anything like that, is prohibited. This is haram. It is a sin. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال لا تحل المسألة لغني ولا لذي مرة سوي. لا تحل المسألة لغني ولا لذي مرة سوي. ذو مرة يعني ذو قوة يستطيع أن يعمل، سوي ما فيه عاهة تمنعه من العمل. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, as narrated by Abu Dawood and others, لا تحل المسألة لغني ولا لذي مرة سوي, which means the solvent one, the one who has enough money or is able to work, is prohibited from begging. It is not permissible for him to beg. هكذا الذي خلقته تامة ما فيه علة عاهة تمنعه من العمل من الكسب. طيب نقف هنا. Let us stop here. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. If you have any questions, go ahead. Oh, one of you, one among you. Okay, go ahead. تفضل تفضل. واللعن من الكبائر. لكن لا القتل أشد. أعظم ذنب بعد الكفر بالله تعالى قتل النفس التي حرم الله. The most enormous sin after blasphemy is to kill unjustly. The most enormous sin. So if you damn a Muslim, this is an enormous sin, but its enormity is not similar, is not equal to the enormity of killing him. Of course, there is هذا يشبه هما متشابهتان هما ذنبان متشابهان من حيث إن كل منهما كبيرة. They are similar in the meaning that both of them are enormous sins. That's it. They are not equal. Is made from light. No, I got it. No, this is not correct. Wait. One moment. I did not finish. Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Which means, O Muhammad, say, I am a human being like you, but I get the revelation from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So everyone among us knows that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the son of Abdullah. His mother is Amina. She got pregnant and then she gave birth to him. We all know that Prophet Muhammad is among the offsprings of Adam. So he is created from the mani of his father and his mother, just like all of us. It is not permissible to say that Prophet Muhammad is light in the meaning that his body is formed from light. Al-Bukhari narrated that one time he fell from a horse. So his thigh was affected and he stayed for a certain period of time to recover. He did not move a lot because of that. The light is not hurt by that. We all know that in one battle, he lost his tooth. It was broken. That is, the light does not get broken like that. No, he is, of course, He enlightened the path for us, of course. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not that he is a physical light. No. Okay. What some people, I know some people say, they mention a hadith which is not a sahih hadith. It is not a confirmed hadith. They say that Lady Aisha one time put the izar for the Prophet and the izar wouldn't hold. It would fall down. They insinuate that because he is a physical light, which is not correct. This is not a confirmed hadith. Okay, the brothers, no, there were two brothers. Yes, go ahead. qira'at al-Qur'an, whether in the prayer or outside the prayer, what is mentioned has to be observed. There was another one. Who was A. Sadruddin? Asim. أسأل إن شاء الله. If someone no, he sits with the teacher until he masters the recitation of the surah properly. After that, he can practice alone. No need for him to sit with his teacher. Let me draw your attention to something here, because we did not mention it in English. There are two types of mistakes while reciting Al-Fatiha. A mistake that changes the meaning, and a mistake that does not change the meaning. It does not affect the meaning. So the mistake that does not affect the meaning, if one is reciting Al-Fatiha, the mistake that does not affect the meaning does not invalidate one's prayer. Okay? It does not invalidate the prayer, although it is sinful if it is done intentionally. We'll get to that. It will come. We will talk about it in details, inshallah. But to make it clear, تفضل. Does the same judgment apply to the person who has to? If one prayed as a follower without reciting Al-Fatiha, according to some scholars, to some mujtahids, his prayer is valid. So if he goes according to their saying, he does not have to make it up. Even if at the time he did not learn Al-Fatiha. In some areas where people cared, they used to care about reciting Al-Fatiha. If someone is starting to pray shortly, yani recently, another person would stand next to him. And that person who's standing next to him would recite one ayah, and the person praying repeats after him, and so on until reciting Al-Fatiha. So they do that for several prayers until he gets, yani. So they would be sure that he is not committing mistakes, and he would be sure that he is reciting properly. That was in the past much more widespread than nowadays. As Hajj Ali said, some people nowadays might get offended if you tell them you need to. Yeah, they might, yeah. Correct. Subhanallah. تفضل. He cannot pronounce some letters. Then he stands for the time needed to recite Al-Fatiha without saying anything. ماذا يفعل الزوج عند الوقوع في معصية الظهار وهو قد طلق زوجته وهي ما زالت في العدة؟ كيف يطلق فورا وهي مطلقة؟ يطلق طلقتين، يطلق طلقة ثانية، أو لا يطلق، ليس شرطا أن يطلق، لكن إن لم يطلق فثبت في حقه الكفارة. الطلاق يقع، الطلاق المعتد يقع إذا كانت الزوجة في العدة فطلقها الزوج وهي في العدة، يقع هذا الطلاق، إلا أن يكون طلقها بالثلاث. If the husband divorces his wife while she is still in her عدة, if he divorces her again, this second divorce is counted. Because she is still in the عِدَّة. The عِدَّة is not over yet. So it is counted, a second divorce. Okay, go ahead, brother. MashaAllah. Wa alaykum as-salam. So he asks them to give him something without offering any price for it, without offering even 10 cents. If they are offering it, this is different. If they are offering it, I'll check it, inshallah, and get back to you. How many hours? How many hours a day is considered enough if a man is working in sales to consider he is putting enough effort to support his family? The issue is not related to the how many hours. It is related to, is he supporting them, the obligatory support, or not? That's the criterion. The obligatory support. And he does not have to get them a car, a TV, a refrigerator, whatever, fridge, like shoes every month, or every 2 months, or every 3 months. No, the obligatory support. شخص كان مع صاحبه في الدكان مثلا وليس عنده مال في جيبه، فقال لصاحبه هات 5 دولارات ولم يقل له ديني، هل هذا يدخل تحت الشحاذة؟ ماذا قصد هو؟ هات 5 دولارات يعني أقرضني، أليس كذلك؟ هذا معناه بين الأصدقاء، هذا معناه، ليس معناه يشحذ منه. If someone is with his friend, he needs $5 and he tells his friend, give me $5 please. It doesn't mean he's begging. It means I will give it back to you later. That's how friends deal together with each other. إذا كان الشخص يصلي بثوب ضيق يحجم العورة، بالنسبة للمرأة مكروه وبالنسبة للرجل خلاف الأولى. If someone is praying with tight clothes in a way that يعني it shows the size of the عورة. It covers the awra, the unlawful nakedness, but it shows its size. In this case, if the one who's praying is a woman, then this is disliked. If it is a man, then it is khilaful awla, which means it is disliked, but a little bit less. In both cases, it is better not to do it. The prayer is valid, but one loses reward by doing that. What is? أعوذ بالله. أعوذ بالله. أعوذ بالله. If it is haram for someone to claim that he saw the crescent to determine the beginning of the month if this person did not see the crescent. It is haram to claim that, to go to the judge and see and say, I saw the crescent, or to tell the people, I saw it. He's committing a sin by that. Even if he has in mind what some people say, I want to unify the Muslims, whatever. What does it mean to unify the Muslims? Do I have to wear the same clothes that you are wearing? Is this the meaning of unifying? Do I have to live the same way you are living? Is this what it means, unifying? Unifying. أعوذ بالله. There are differences. There is difference in opinions among the mujtahids. Some of them, they said, if the crescent is sighted in one place, and it is confirmed religiously, then all the other Muslims who know about that, they go according to this sighting. This is what some mujtahids said, like Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, radiyallahu anhu. And some others said, each area, they watch for themselves. So if people in Philadelphia see the crescent and this is confirmed, then those who live in, let's say, No. Then those who live, for example, in let me say it the other way. I don't want to go into a lot of. Some people in Los Angeles side the crescent, then the people in Philadelphia cannot go according to that, because they do not have the same timing for the sunset and the sunrise. It's not the same. So there are two opinions among the Muslim, the mujtahids. During the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, they did not use to fast, to start fasting and end the fast at the same day in all the towns. They did not. So do you think they were not unified? During the time of Abu Bakr, they did not. During the time of Umar, they did not. During the time of Uthman, they did not. During the time of Ali, they did not. After that, they did not. So they were not unified, because this is not how the Muslims get unified. Subhanallah. Nowadays, this is an opportunity to talk about something. Many people, in what regards the start of Ramadan, the end of Ramadan, the day of Eid, they do not act in the proper way. And sometimes their acts are not valid. I'll give you an example. You live here, for example, in Philadelphia. How do you know that the month of Ramadan starts, let's say, at this day? Let's say at the 29th of Sha'ban, the day of the 29th of Sha'ban, the sun sets. How do you know if the next day is Ramadan or not? Tell me. So this is what all of you are doing in each town where you are. You are going out to look and check the crescent. I'm sure some are doing it, but in all the towns where you live, you are doing that. Tayyib, in the first place, how do you know that this day is the 29th of Sha'ban and it is not the 28th? How do you know? So you need to watch also for the previous month, and you need to watch for the month before it, and so on. So if you are not doing that, then it is an obligation. It is a communal obligation for the Muslims to watch in each area, to watch. So now, what many people do nowadays? What day was the day of Eid? The Eid al-Adha? Wednesday? Whatever. How do you know that it was Wednesday? Wednesday, the Eid is the 10th of which month? Dhul-Hijjah. How do you know that this was the tenth? So you needed to watch, or someone needed to watch, mahek, at the beginning of the month. To know the beginning of the month, so you know that this is the tenth. Mahek, many people, they listen to the radio or to the TV. And someone comes up and says, someone, I don't know who, that, for example, in, let's say, at the radio of, which country do you want? Bali? at the radio of, let's say, Saudi, if you want, Saudi Arabia, let's say, they said, this is the beginning of the month. How did they know? Who confirmed that? A judge? Well, that judge, is he a Wahhabi? Well, the judges there, they are. As far as I know, all of them are Wahhabis. So do you take his word? Tayyib, if you don't take his word, then what did you do? Tell me. You see, what I mean by that, we need to take care of this issue. It is not something light. So if you pray the prayer of Al-Eid, while you didn't take care of that, and your prayer is not valid, then what are you doing? An invalid act of worship? It is not permissible to do an invalid act of worship. If you slaughter a sheep, and it's not the day of Al-Eid, it's before, let's say, then what are you doing? See what I mean? So one needs to take care of those issues. Those are not light things. These are not light things. Yes, you can rely on, you can go according to the saying of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, but you need to be sure that the crescent was cited, really cited, at another area, and this was confirmed. And by two people, not by one. One is not enough. Once I asked a person, When is the beginning of this month? When was the beginning of this month? He told me the lunar month. A lunar month. He told me at such and such day. I told him, how did you know? He said, few people in... He mentioned a country away from him. They told me that they saw the crescent. I told him, do you know them? He said, no. So do you know if they are upright people or not? He said, no. So all what you know, their names, this is all what you know. And they told you, or one of them told you, that three of us, let's say, saw the crescent. Or someone told you that three people saw the crescent. Their names are, for example, Ahmed, Muhammad, and Yusuf. That's all. So you don't know that they are trustworthy, upright Muslims. He said, no. He said, then how did you judge that this is the beginning of the month? He did not have an answer. One needs to be... There are several acts of worship that we do contingent upon those months. You go to Al-Hajj. When do you go to Arafah? The ninth. If you don't know which day is the ninth, how are you going to be there at the ninth? Just following the crowd? فهمت هيدي حاجة. If someone is married to two wives, he needs to treat them in a fair, يعني, how do I say it? In a fair manner. So if he is treating one of them in a bad manner, this does not mean that the marriage contract is invalidated by that. If he is harming her, unjustly harming her, then he is committing a sin. If he does not support her, the obligatory support, he is committing a sin. But this does not mean that the marriage contract is breached by that, just by that. If someone says, "Oh Allah, admit so and so to hellfire in the hereafter," he does not blaspheme by that. Some Muslims, they are tortured in hellfire. As for the other question, inshallah, I will ask for more details. So whenever you have time, please come to me for more details. When you were talking about the Fatiha, when someone does not recite the Fatiha in the prayer because he or she is a new Muslim and did not learn it yet, but he prays saying the zikr, in the meantime he still needs to make up those prayers. If someone is a new Muslim and he has enough time to learn and there is someone to teach him, it is not valid for him to pray without reciting Al-Fatiha, even if he says zikr. If someone is a new Muslim, he needs, among the first things that he needs to do is to learn Al-Fatiha. So if he cannot, because there is no one to teach him, he travels, if he can, to another town, another place where there is someone who teaches him or her, if he is able. If he is not able, then he or she has the excuse to recite other verses. If not, then to make zikr. If not, then to remain silent, etc. But it's not immediately because one is a new Muslim, that's it, he does not recite Al-Fatiha and it takes him, he stays like that for 2 months or 3 months without learning. No, he can ask someone at least and tell him or her, stand next to me when I pray and you say the statement, I repeat after you. For example, if he cannot memorize, if he cannot say the letters, then immediately one goes to learn. So this is how it is. الذي يطلق زوجته في النفاس كالذي يطلق زوجته في الحيض، عليه إثم لكن وقع الطلاق. The one who divorces his wife while she is in her postpartum bleeding, then he is sinful for that, but the divorce takes place just as if she is in her menses. The same judgment applies. Let me tell you something. If you want to do, if you get a job, let's say, in another country, and you go there, you don't know the country, you don't know the language, and there is no one there that speaks English, what do you do? You try to learn, isn't it? You learn how to move around, how to do your things. Even you put a lot of effort, I think, to learn the language. And this is seeking a worldly target. So how about Al-Fatiha, the prayer, and avoiding sinning, and being a successful person in the hereafter? One needs to put the effort. It is worth it. What is the judgment for? I will ask and later give the answer, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. خلونا نهلل. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.